Today's show is brought to you by Castwave Studios Fundraiser. Go to www.indiegogo.com/castwavestudios and contribute today. We are the podcast refugee nation. Be a part of it. You can hear Boldly Going Nowhere on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones, on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
In this restaurant, I really think that you need to ask yourself one simple question. How do you feel about frontal male nudity?
The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, Nerds in Space! We're talking about Yuri's Night, a global celebration of humanity's past, present, and future. In space. We're also going to violate your childhood. With logic! I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holm.
And I'm Brian Massey.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Hello and welcome to episode 64 of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Brian Massey.
And this is the show that is so popular, you've never even heard of it. And if you have, congratulations. And welcome.
To the Hipster Club.
Yeah.
Great success to you for finding this show.
Great success befalls onto you.
I can only imagine the obstacles you must have overcome to get this far. To find a podcast this obscure, you win. You are the ultimate hipster.
All right, yeah.
For listening to this show.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Space. What can we say about it?
It's the final frontier. Well, the internet's the final frontier, also space is. Yeah.
It's
well,
vast,
technically, wouldn't space be considered the final frontier?
The final frontier?
The final.
Well, the internet is the final frontier, but...
Brought to you by the Redundancy Department of Redundancy.
We're the redundant Department of Redundancy.
Even your jokes are redundant.
You repeated the joke. You repeated the redundant joke.
Space is a big
again.
Old black thing of nothing.
I thought you were going to say black.
Just like my prison mate.
I thought you were going to say black pussy. It was a big old black pussy.
Yep.
Space is a big old black pussy.
You know, space is like the Pop-Tart. No, it's like a lemon pudding. No, it's like the new Coke. It'll be around forever.
Okay, so,
oh boy, what you gonna go play a buck buck?
Okay, so I do believe that we are actually going somewhere with this episode today.
You would think that.
I would think that.
Well, you are correct. Actually, we are going somewhere, and that is Yuri's Night, the World Space Party.
Indeed.
On April 12th. What is Yuri's Night?
Well, it's first a guy named Yuri, and...
it's his night.
Yuri's Night
He's a knight. He's getting knighted, right?
No, he's been dead for...
Sir Yuri.
Is he dead?
He's dead. He's dead.
Did he die in the cold black depths of space?
No. He crashed his, I think he crashed a MiG on planet Earth.
Huh. MiG? Say that. Can't say that on a podcast.
MiG. M-I-G.
MiG? MiG?
For real, MiG.
For real, MiG.
For real, MiG.
What is Yuri's Night?
MiG with a M.
What is Yuri's Night? Yuri's Night is a global celebration of humanity's past, present, and future. In space! Yuri's Night parties and events are held around the world every April in commemoration of April 12th, 1961, the day of cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin's first manned spaceflight, and April 12th, 1981, the inaugural launch of NASA's space shuttle. Yuri's Night's events combine space-themed partying with education and outreach. These events can range from an all-night mix of techno and technology at a NASA center, to a movie showing and stargazing at your local college, to a gathering of friends at a bar. At a bar. Not a bear.
A bear.
You know, sometimes
with a bear
eats you. Sometimes you eat the bar, and sometimes the bar eats you. At a bar or barbecue. In 2011, the 50th anniversary of human spaceflight, over 100,000 people attended 567 officially recognized events in 75 countries on all 7 continents, while thousands more watched the 12-hour live Yuri's Night global webcast and participated online in the virtual world of Second Life.
Well, you know what the sad thing was? That they actually, the 2011 Yuri's Night in D.C. actually got canceled.
Wow. That's
so we missed that last year. So
no, if you look up Second Life in dictionary.com and you click the little audio portion that has the repeat the word actually size at right before it says Second Life.
Here's my thing about Second Life. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut
you off. I'm sorry. Let me ask you a quick question before we get
into
that.
Your word is Second Life.
Let me ask you a quick question. Isn't April 12th or is it April 15th also when the Titanic sank in 1912?
Yes. April 14th is when it started sinking, and then it sunk officially on April 15th.
All right. I was just curious.
Yeah, April 15th, 1912.
Okay.
No, here's what I was going to say about Second Life. Don't you need to have a life in order to get a second one?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Look at this. Hey, guys, they have a...
Snap and a half. That was a burn to whoever plays Second Life.
Ooh, sick burn.
Hey, guys.
I tried it once.
Yeah.
They actually have a recording of Yuri Gagarin's first words in space.
Oh, really?
Here, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Well, we don't speak Russian, but go ahead.
No, hang on. Let me pull it up.
I know a little bit.
Zdravstvoyte. In Soviet Russia, spaceship fly you.
Как дела?
Are you ready? I'm going to play it. Let me turn it up. All right, ready?
I'm ready.
Here are the first words of Yuri Gagarin.
Ghetto
in space.
Stop.
I hate you. I hate you so much. I really hate you, sir.
Will you please rise for the internet anthem?
Oh, God. It's every time with this asshole. Every time with the Trololo.
Just, you know what?
And then Yon's.
You know what? Just let it be. Just let it go. All
right.
Oh. All right, that's enough of that shit.
I think Colin is our podcast equivalent to Rob Speedwagon from the Michael Mara show.
Probably.
I'm going to clip that out and send that to him.
Okay. Honestly, if he had played that and we just talked over it the entire time, that would have probably been funny. But
I know. It's
there's a certain anymore. Deference you have to show the Trololo song. You can't just talk over it.
Yeah,
that's true.
You gotta let it
commands
be.
Your respect.
Yeah,
just presence. Like you can't listen to Tune Up, Tune Up, Tune and not get up and dance.
This
dude,
is true.
I dance every time we play
it. It's such a good song.
Good song.
Tune Up, Tune Up, Tune.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No, we're not. Don't play it. Don't play it.
I'm not going to.
Okay, good, because we will go down a rabbit hole that we will.
Yeah, no. I'm not going. I only thought that was funny just because
Indian rabbit hole that smells like digested curry. Shame.
Join us on Bold and Going Nowhere as we just sit here for an hour and listen to shit on YouTube.
No.
I'm kidding.
Okay, back to yours.
Yeah, this is
you have to yell to the mic.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're popping.
Unnecessary.
I'm new to this. I'm not kidding. No, I'm not.
We will demote you
so fast.
It'll make your head
fast.
Spin.
All right.
In the last 11 years, Yuri's Night has featured talks and presentations by Ray Bradbury, Will Wright.
Shut up, Wesley.
George Takei. Richard Garriott.
Completely different person, but
still.
Anna Shay Ansari, and many others. It's been celebrated at the South Pole. Freaking South Pole.
Yeah, it's being celebrated in Antarctica.
Oh, the I thought
Hayden
the clothing
planetarium, and in orbit on the International Space Station. Yuri's Night has planted hundreds of, quote, moon trees around the world in collaboration with American forests.
What the hell is a moon tree?
I don't know, but I hope I can find
they
the
They sound awesome. That sounds like
I want a moon tree.
I want to hug a moon tree.
You should go.
It's what Ewoks live in.
Okay, yeah, right, because they live on the forest moon of Endor. I got gotcha.
You. Yeah. Yub nub. Yub nub. All right, anyway.
By the way, go to www.yurisnight.net and click about, and you can see what I'm reading.
Or a boot for you Canadians.
Yeah. Yes, there's a special... If you go to yourisnot.ca, it's the about section.
Yep. About. What's that about?
And there are plenty of celebrations going on in Canada. They have received the Best Presentation of Space Award from the Space Frontier Foundation. They've developed the next generation of space leaders for organizations such as the National Space Society, Virgin Galactic, and Armadillo Aerospace. Now, the reason that we are talking about Yuri's Night is because we are going
yep.
to Yuri's Night.
Yep-er.
Specifically, the Washington, D.C. Yuri's Night.
Yep. Countdown to Yuri's Night at the Artisphere in Rosslyn, Virginia.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's in Arlington, like right around... I think it's in a suburb of Arlington, if memory serves correct.
Yeah. So go to... What is the website called?
The website is outofthisworldparty.com.
So go to Out of This World Party, and you can get tickets. They are $25 in advance, or $30 the day of...
Or at the door.
Yeah, at the door.
Feel free to bring your communicators or sonic screwdrivers, anything you want, really.
Bring all your sci-fi gadgets.
Dress up.
It's a 21-only event, though.
Bring your phasers. It is a 21-and-up event. Sorry, kids.
But that's because we're going to be boozing it up.
We're going to booze it up, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Straight to the moon!
Here's some of the people that are partnering with them. ThinkGeek.
Dude. Ooh.
Nice.
Stoli.
I want a Yoda backpack.
And the American Aeronautical Society. Not as exciting, but still.
Hey, that's pretty exciting.
Dude,
screw the
Yoda backpack. I want
Rockstar, too.
Okay, Rockstar.
With the lightsaber zipper.
Yeah.
Artisphere.
Yeah. Art by Jared. It could only be Jared. Oh.
And Dutch Oven Burlesque.
I can't believe I remembered that. I just queued in.
I'm glad someone joined me on that.
Oh, yeah,
that's not the worst.
I would have been so sad if it was just you.
I mean, and here's a little taste of what...
It could only be Jared.
Yeah, here's a little taste of what's going to be there. Right. I mean, they have an art exhibition of retro future art, whatever that is.
Cool.
They got a lot of shows going on.
Retro future art would be pictures of the future from the past. I actually took a whole class on
this. Really?
Yeah, it was American Studies class. It was perspectives on the future, which was really cool because we went back and we looked at like people's visions of the future from
like
the 1920s, films. Right? Like Fantastic Adventures magazine.
You know what's funny?
Orson Welles.
We talked about that. We watched all the different Brave New World, 1984, all
Sky
that
Captain
stuff.
In the World of Tomorrow.
You're not watching Sky Captain the World of Tomorrow.
Thank
That's
God.
A good class. That's a good
I
class.
I remember there's a picture online. You can actually go ahead and Google it if you really want to. But there's a picture of somebody back in the day when they were you were talking about retro future art.
The World's Fairs, Disney World.
One of the
World.
Things that they actually predicted was, in fact, the internet. And they were talking about, there's pictures online of, say, a woman, on a TV, and she's, looking at fabric for, online shopping and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not practical the way that they're presenting it, but they do have the seeds there. It's you will be able to shop online, and you'll be able to do all that. It's really interesting.
You know what that reminds me of, Justin? Do you remember that, what was it? The World of Tomorrow at Disney?
Right.
The it was World of Tomorrow!
It was done like a retro 50s style, infomercial. You're just going along the conveyor belt, and you're seeing all this shit. But it's, all supposed to be all this, futuristic stuff
right.
going
you
on.
Know don't forget to mention, by the way, that the World of Tomorrow exhibit was presented to you by GE.
Also funny. You know what's funny? They actually made fun of that. They actually made fun of that in Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh, that's, probably the best.
Which was really freaking cool. How outdated is that stuff, by the way, anyways?
What, the World of Tomorrow?
World of Tomorrow
really
was
outdated.
The first exhibit at Disney World. A lot of people don't realize this, but Disney World was built to represent a utopian vision. It was Walt Disney's utopian vision. And so...
Are the Jews gone yet? Put me back in!
Speaking of which, is Passover.
There were some flaws in Disney's utopian vision, let's be honest. But the other stuff, the fantasy world, Adventure World... Those other things were added on later, but Tomorrow World was the first part of Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Or Disneyland, because Disneyland actually came first.
Let's not forget the number one thing in Disney World that has a tight grip and grasp on the future, and that is Space Mountain.
Of course, man. Of course. Space Mountain.
If you've ever ridden on Space Mountain, it's
that's my jam!
That's my jam! Here's another failed perspective in terms of the perspectives of the future. The failed one, watch RoboCop compare the Detroit to that one to the Detroit of today.
Delta City?
Yes.
Well, Delta Dale. City.
All right.
Not the same.
Well, actually, one last thing, and we'll get back to it. One of the coolest things about Disney now, they have this, they have a talking trash can that interacts with you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Fast Pass.
That's R2-D2, yeah. Isn't it?
That's also cool.
All right. We will have a whole nother episode where we'll just talk about retro future stuff, because I love it. I could easily devote a whole episode
we'll
to it.
We'll do that in the future.
I took a whole freaking class on it, and we can talk about Disney World. I could easily do a whole episode just about Disney
World. Talking about this in the future.
But we're here to talk about Yuri's Night. So let me give you a brief history of Yuri's Night. A human spaceflight became a reality 50 years ago with the launch of a bell-shaped capsule called Vostok 1 on April 12, 1961. The capsule was carrying Soviet cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin, who took his place in history as the first human to leave the bounds of Earth and enter outer space. Exactly 20 years later, the United States embarked on a new era in spaceflight with the inaugural launch of a new type of spaceship, the Space Shuttle, April 12th. I'll wait.
There he goes. He's going on the space. He crashed.
He was never heard from again.
No, he's coming back. Still waiting on the spaceship.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm done. I really am.
Man,
I was about to say, where's
Space
the harmonica
Oddity would have been a lot different if it was ground control to Major Yuri.
Yeah. What would David Bowie have sung about at that point?
No, he would sing.
Here's the thing about the Russian space program. Maybe it was less successful, but it is a lot more interesting. And that makes for much better songs. I mean, Laika, that Arcade Fire song off of Funeral. Neighborhoods.
Oh yeah, about the dog.
Number two about Laika.
Yeah. The door.
Also, Jonathan Colton has a song called "Space Doggity," which is about Laika, which is a spoof of "Space Oddity," but it's about Laika. So, just some fun facts for y'all.
Yeah.
Let's see. Where was I? The space shuttle was designed to carry a larger crew and larger volumes of cargo to orbit. Space shuttles became synonymous with human space flight for an entirely new generation of young people. When the next 20-year point arrived, that generation, often called Gen X, laid a new space milestone by connecting thousands of people around the world to celebrate and honor the past while building a stairway to the future. That event was Yuri's Night, and it continues to bring the excitement, passion, and promise of space travel closer to people of all ages, nationalities, and backgrounds.
Yes. So basically, I mean, the
there is more about the history. I urge you to go to www.yurisnet.net, click the about page, and you can read all up about the history of Yuri's first flight, about the first manned space shuttle flight, and a lot of other interesting things, and the history of the Yuri's Night event itself. So I've never heard about this event, but I'm really kicking myself for never having gone to it before.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a huge deal. I mean, it really is an international event.
Yeah. I'm going to have so much fun at this event.
No,
going to this event, I'm going to have like lots of fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing that's great about it is when I went 2 years ago, it was literally, I mean, I just heard about it. I wasn't too sure about it. I was like, all I knew is it was a celebration. It was a celebration of a Russian flying into space being celebrated by NASA, which I always thought was kind of ironic. I was like, why would you celebrate the fact that you got beat? Why would you do that? But whatever. But so we went, and we drove down. We actually drove because it was in Greenville. It was closer than D.C. the first year we went. So we drove down there. We got there, and we had to park, and then we got out, and we had to take the shuttle over to the place where they were actually having the event. And as soon as I got out, I saw Princess Leia. I was like,
wow.
Wait, what?
Fortuitous.
No, I saw Princess Leia. I saw Romulans. I saw dudes dressed up in Star Trek costumes. It was crazy, and everyone just conglomerated on this bus. We drove over there, and then there were so many nerds there. There was an actual full-functioning R2-D2 there.
What, was the doctor there as well?
You know what? I didn't see one, but there very, very well could have been.
Oh, okay, cool.
All I remember is the moment that cracked me up the most was the fully functional R2-D2 robot was following around this lady in a wheelchair, and finally when it caught up to her, it started moving up against it and making the pinging noises. I was like, is R2-D2 humping that lady?
R2-D2's got an erection.
That's one of his gadgets.
Yeah. Well, that could still technically be an erection.
Please, you wish you had the width and height.
You wish you had the height and girth of D2.
Okay.
But
so...
I mean, basically, we went there. It was nothing but nerds drinking and celebrating the fact that they were nerds. And that is fucking awesome, in my opinion.
It is awesome.
Awesome.
I think people should come just as a sheer fact that if you're listening to us, you're probably a nerd. If you're listening to your podcast, you're...
Can I just share all of the countries that are participating in Yuri's Night?
Go for
How
it.
How many are there?
All right. Well, first of all, Antarctica, South Pole Station. So they're going to be partying with penguins.
I also see you have a Facebook message.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
So Antarctica, Argentina.
The mute button's right.
You know where that is. Australia. Austria, Belgium, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Bulgaria, Canada, lots of Canada,
what's
Chile,
what's all that a boot?
Colombia, Czech Republic, Finland, France, Czech. Germany, Ghana and Greece, India, Iran.
See, Italy. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, they're allowed to celebrate in Iran? That's allowed?
Only for Yuri's Night. It's a special occasion. You know what? Everyone can get behind space travel. All
right. Hey, I'll take that.
Oh, yeah,
our childlike sense of wonder
when
it comes to space is truly universal.
I love getting behind space travel.
Let's see. Kingston, Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Me going to the Yuri's Night.
Japan.
Korea. South.
Dude, if Japan didn't celebrate it, I'd be
North's
worried.
There, but you don't know.
Latvia, don't know Lithuania, Luxembourg, Mexico, Nepal. Yeah, if you want to go to Kathmandu, there's going to be a party in Kathmandu.
Awesome.
Yuri's Night, Kathmandu.
Kathmandu's.
So, this is a worldwide event.
I would love to celebrate Yuri's Night in Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah, because it's got a spatial disco with Captain DJ Goldfinger.
Dude,
I love God and DJing.
Boarding pass.
Tell me that's not like that sounds like an awesome party right there.
Wait, I need to read this description for the Amsterdam Yuri's Night.
Please.
Story.
Dude, read it. Read it, man.
I will. God, if you let me. A newborn child is trying to make its first steps, reaching out to the unknown, learning about this world. Cosmonauts are pioneers in space, making their clumsy-looking moves in the non-gravity world outside our Mother Earth. There's an irresistible magnetism of the unknown that the humans obey ceaselessly. We adore heroes of space, like Yuri Gagarin, the first man who made the first step into another world. It happened on April 12th, 1961.
Alright, cut that shit out.
Many things changed since then. For years, big nations competed in space, but that's where cosmonauts from different countries shake hands and look at glorious Earth with adoration. Meeting in space is special. It is spatial. When the first Romanian cosmonaut, Dimitru Doran Prunariu, flew with the Russian Leonid Popov in 1981, it was spatial. Now, Vasily Nadia, a Romanian cymbalom player, will meet Goldfinger, a DJ from Russia, and it will be as spatial. And friends, it's disco time again!
They sound really excited.
They are really, yeah, they're really excited.
It is space disco time.
I'm gonna use that, man. It's gonna be spatial, man.
It's special disco.
It's not just special, it's spatial.
It's special disco.
I kind of hurt my throat.
Now, let's compare.
Pakistan.
Oh, we're going back to the list now.
Peru.
All right. Fine, man. It's all good.
Portugal, Romania. Ooh, they're doing it in Transylvania.
Yes, I vote to go to space.
I think I had the best playing of all.
Russia.
Because mine's pianissimo and soft.
Saudi Arabia, subtle. South Africa, Spain.
España.
Can we get...
Switzerland, Turkey, Ukraine, United Kingdom, of course, United States.
I think we should get Yakko to explain all the countries.
I can do that. Hang on.
So you keep reading, and then Yakko will review them.
Just got to scroll through the whole United States. Venezuela, Vietnam, and here's what's going on in the virtual world. Space VidCast, internet, online radio special.
So basically,
NASA's Third Rock Radio.
So basically, the countries that are going to be doing this are the United States, Canada.
Hang on.
If you're on World of Warcraft,
it's going to be an Azeroth.
And now, the nations of the world, brought to you by Yakko Werner.
Here's Yakko.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland, El Salvador, too, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still Guatemala, Bolivia, then Argentina, and Ecuador, Chile, Brazil, Costa Rica, Belize, Nicaragua, Bermuda, Bahamas, Tobago, San Juan, Paraguay, Uruguay, Suriname, Empress, Guyana, Barbados, and Guam. Norway and Sweden and Iceland and Finland and Germany now one piece. Switzerland, Austria, Czechoslovakia, Italy, Turkey and Greece. Poland, Romania, Scotland, Albania, Ireland, Russia, Oman. Bulgaria, Saudi Arabia, Hungary, Cyprus, Iraq and Iran. There's Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Jordan, both Yemen, Kuwait and Bahrain. The Netherlands, Luxembourg, Belgium and Portugal, France, England, Denmark and Spain. India, Pakistan, Burma, Afghanistan, Thailand, Nepal, and Bhutan, Cambodia, Malaysia, then Bangladesh, Asia, and China, Korea, Japan, Mongolia, Laos, and Tibet, Indonesia, the Philippine Islands, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, New Guinea, Sumatra, New Zealand, and Borneo, and Vietnam, Tunisia, Morocco, Uganda, Angola, Zimbabwe, Djibouti, Botswana, Mozambique, Zambia, Swaziland, Gambia, Guinea, Algeria, Ghana. Uganda, Lesotho, and Malawi, Togo, the Spanish Sahara is gone. Niger, Nigeria, Chad, and Liberia, Egypt, Benin, and Gabon. Tanzania, Somalia, Kenya, and Mali, Sierra Leone, and Algier. Dahomey, Namibia, Senegal, Libya, Cameroon, Congo, Zaire, Ethiopia, Guinea-Bissau, Madagascar, Rwanda, Mayor, and Cayman. Hong Kong, Abu Dhabi, Qatar, Yugoslavia. Crete, Mauritania, then Castlevania, Monaco, Liechtenstein, Malta, and Palestine, Fiji, Australia, Sudan.
And that's all the countries involved with Yuri's Night.
You know what I... Well, first of all, that was amazing. But I gotta hand it to them for putting Palestine in there.
Yeah,
it's kind of controversial.
I think most of those. They just said Korea for terms of other ones.
That's
but.
True. I mean they made a they knew they probably could have gotten some flack for that.
Yeah, but they did
it anyways, and I'm glad they did.
Yeah. So thank you, Rob Wilson. Who should come on the show, by the way.
We love you and your work.
Yes,
all of it. So Yuri's Night is going to be fantastic. We are going to be there. It is just going to be... I'm psyched, really. Now, here's the thing. When I think about Yuri, especially Yuri Gagarin, I think about this guy that I knew who was named Yuri, and his nickname was Gagarin. But I don't think his dreams of ever being a cosmonaut will be realized, because... not the sharpest tool in the shed. We used to just fuck with him constantly, incessantly. And whenever we'd address him as Yuri.
Yuri.
Yeah.
Hey, lazy.
Yuri. And he's really easy to mess with because he's basically like a puppy. And he would just go up to people. So let's... Here, I'll be Yuri. This is like Yuri. Me trying to address you as Yuri. Hey, Colin. Hmm? Hey, Colin.
Yes?
Hey, Colin.
Yes?
Colin.
Yes?
Hey, Colin.
Yes?
Hey, Colin.
Yes?
Hi.
Hi.
That's Yuri. That's Yuri for you.
That's really annoying.
So...
I agree.
Yeah, it is pretty annoying. Now, one of my favorite stories about Yuri... I was hanging out with him and some other people at a person's home. We were engaging in activities and of the not sober variety.
What are?
Yeah. And so I got a call from, I think it was Evan, but it doesn't really matter who it was. They were calling because they wanted to know if Yuri had his keys on him. I don't even remember why, but I said, oh, let me ask him. Hey, Yuri, do you have your keys? Where are your keys, Yuri? Your keys. Show me your keys, Yuri. The keys. Show me the keys. The keys! Yuri, where are your keys? And I just got more and more intense. And he started freaking fuck out. He was, like, scrambling to find his keys. I mean, he was almost in tears because he did not know what was going on. And the keys, Yuri! Where are the keys? Give me the keys. Show me the keys, Yuri. The keys. Show them to me. Yuri, the keys. Until he eventually just kind of broke down and curled up in a ball. And that is my story about Yuri.
Also, yes, if anybody here is listening who's into anime, yeah, I know what Yuri is in that context, so yeah, no need to present it, but still.
Really, because I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what Yuri is?
No.
That's something we're not going to get into.
Something dirty?
Nope.
Is it something filthy?
No anime.
Indeed.
Nope.
Well, we do have a strict no anime policy on this podcast.
Unless you're talking about anything Cowboy Bebop.
I'd rather just say no anime.
No anime?
In general. Make it a blanket.
Okay.
Just no anime rule. There was one time that Yuri... I was not there, but Yuri was in another friend's car, and he lit up a bowl right in front of a police station. So he was
smart.
Not the smartest guy.
That takes some balls.
Smart.
Yeah. I could tell some really terrible stories, but I feel like I should not tell them on the air.
Well,
yeah,
that's
because they could really damage his sterling reputation.
All right.
From what you're telling me, he really doesn't have one to start with.
No, he's not well liked.
Well, okay. If we're gonna change topics here, because I believe, by the way, it's gonna be what, April 12th?
April 14th.
Yuri's Night.
See, I didn't see that one on this list.
April 14th. Yeah, it is. It's Saturday.
If you go to DC. Keep talking.
Yeah, it's going to be April 14th, Saturday, starting at, 8 o'clock? Something like that?
There it is.
Yeah. It's going to be around the world.
8 p.m. to 2 a.m.
If you're anywhere in the world, feel free to, go where it's close.
Tune in. Sink your weenus.
And I will remind you again, if you don't want to physically go to a place and you just want to be in the internet...
Go on the interwebs.
There are Yuri's Night events going on in... cyberspace in World of Warcraft.
Well, check that out. They're actually having a space vidcast.
Yeah. You can go to... There's one on Second Life, Star Trek Online, and Frontier Spaceport, whatever that is. There's a bunch of other ones, too. So go to yurisnight.net/party list and check it out.
Awesome. All right.
Moving on.
So there's a couple things we could bring up. But one of the things, anybody here hear about what Michael Bay is planning to do with a certain franchise that we might have grown up with?
Oh, God.
Yeah, we heard.
Yes.
Now, I want everyone else to say their piece about this first, because I have something to say about Ninja Turtles, and it's not going to be...
I think you should go down the line the way
it's not
going to
be popular.
So, Brian first.
All right. If you're listening to this and, you're anywhere near a computer, then you probably already know that Michael Bay is going to turn Ninja Turtles into, a group of aliens, who are also wisecracking teenagers. He's naming it Ninja Turtles, and, I have no idea what's gonna come out of this, but I do know that, plenty of people are still pissed off about Transformers, and honestly, I could care less about Transformers in the sense that I didn't grow up with them. But I grew up with Ninja Turtles, and now it's getting a little personal for me.
This time it's personal. It just got real, people.
And I can't help but feel just a little concerned. If it's worse than Ninja Turtles 3, then... we're gonna have issues.
Is that the one with Vanilla Ice?
No, that's Ninja Turtles 3 is the one where they go back in time.
Oh, Turtle, yeah. Turtles back in time. Ancient Japan. Yeah.
And for some reason, there's a kid named Yoshi that Raphael really likes in that movie. So every time I hear him, he's like, Yoshi! I'm like, the fucking dinosaur from Mario?
I know a guy named Yoshi.
No, there's a guy named Yoshi in the first Turtles
Hamato
movie.
Hamato Yoshi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was his master.
So, all right, I guess moving on, because...
To Justin, what's he have to...
No, I want to go last, because my view is going to be a little contrarian.
All right, so, Colin?
I mean, I like Ninja Turtles, and... I mean, my roommate said it the best, is that if you've got a fucking problem with what Michael Bay is doing to Ninja Turtles, don't go see the movie. Just don't go.
Yeah.
I mean, we all got suckered in with Transformers... And, you know, we all ended up with egg on our face. Just, if you got a problem with it this time, just don't go. I'm not going either. I don't care if it's good or bad. It's a property.
Don't give him money.
Yeah, just stop giving Michael Bay money and he'll stop making shitty movies.
Well, because you know this movie's going to have a massive budget. If he actually loses a ton of money on this, then they will stop.
People will learn the lesson. They'll learn it.
I believe they learned with Transformers and they learned that he's doing the bullshit. This is my issue. He's doing too much cocaine. He's doing too much. He's doing way too much. And I know you love it, but he actually. How do you think he releases Transformers 2, 3, and then he gets signed up for those? It's because he wants more cocaine and he wants to bang.
Yeah, if Tony Montana
and sniff cocaine off their.
If
bats.
Tony Montana could see how much cocaine he was doing, he would just be like. That's sad, yo.
Yo, bro, you need to slow down.
And it's he's sparking the what all the other Hollywood execs want him to do is just remake everything, and other directors are starting to do is rehash everything. He's starting a chain that it's never ending. All right, and I don't like it at all. And I think we should wrap it up and wrap up the podcast because it's
my turn.
Yeah, go ahead.
So here's the thing. Obviously, everyone knows I hate Michael Bay and everything that he creates. Particularly Transformers, but I'm not going to go into that because I will then be filled with so much bile that it will actually burn an ulcer into my stomach. And my doctor said I need to not do that.
Give me geese.
So, on the subject of this particular abomination, I am angry that it exists, but here's the thing. I actually don't like the Ninja Turtles. In fact, I'm sorry. I know people are going to be upset to hear me say this. I strongly dislike the Ninja Turtles. Because it makes no fucking sense. And even as a kid, it was not something that I watched. It was not something that I sought out. I guess I could see why people liked it. But to me, as a person who gets really caught up on words and semantics, even as like a 10-year-old kid, when I saw the title Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I, in my super nerdy, like... hyper-internal, like, world, I had to, like, break it down into little chunks. I'm like, alright, let's analyze this all together.
And let's figure it out!
Let's figure this shit out. Alright. Teenagers, okay? They're teenagers. They're loud. They're irresponsible. They like to party and they like pizza. Mutants. Okay, well. Ninjas. Well, teenagers would not make very good ninjas. Neither would mutants. Well, mutants could be ninjas. That's fine. I guess I see that. But turtles. Turtles would not make good ninjas at all. And they certainly wouldn't make good teenagers. My point is the title makes no fucking sense. And me trying to explain it makes even less sense. And I'm just like, why am I watching a show about this?
Well, to be completely honest with you, the franchise itself began because it was a parody. If you look at the first cover of the Eastman and Laird comic, it's actually an homage and a parody of Ronin. And it's ultra.
I'm assuming you don't mean the Jean Reno movie.
No, he means Ronin Samurai.
Right. Ronin Samurai. And it's meant to be a play because like there was so much crazy shit in the 80s like that. So many crazy ass.
The dark, gritty anti-heroes.
Yeah.
They were abundant in that time.
And so Eastman and Laird just came up with this one thing, and they were like, is it going to sell? Well, maybe, maybe not. We just came up with this thing. and it sold like fucking hotcakes. So
yeah, I mean, kids are pretty dumb, but they're turtles who skateboard and eat pizza. And I mean, also, they're named after Italian Renaissance painters.
I think you just took your big dick of logic and shoved it through my childhood. Thank you.
Look, it's either go, my asshole. Dick, it's either my logic dick or Michael Bay's explosion.
You squatted.
Dick.
You took.
No, that's
took
a good point, Sean.
You took a squat. You pulled out your pants and you took a giant steaming pile of crap on.
But
my
Sean,
phone.
No, he makes a very good point, Sean. Look, legally this one.
All right,
look at it, I mean, he makes a good point. Look at it this way. Do you want Justin's logic dick shoved through your childhood?
Or
do you want Michael Bay's cocaine-infused explosion dick shoved through your childhood? Your choice.
At least
I choose neither.
Sean, at least Justin's not making you pay for this one.
True.
I'm not making you pay for the opportunity to get violated from the rear.
You're not making movies, so...
I don't. And the thing is, I have no problem... Like, I'm a huge sci-fi and fantasy nerd. I don't have a problem with things being unrealistic or not, like, you know, conforming to, like, the physical boundaries of the real world. I have a problem with things that are inconsistent, that are internally inconsistent, and that don't seem to follow any kind of... Sure, I'll say it, logical train of thought. Like, I can't see how they got from one thing to the other. I can't... follow like the train of thought that took them from teenagers to mutants to ninjas to turtles. It was like someone was hallucinating. Someone was having a bad acid trip and they saw someone's pet turtle and they were like, I don't know, watching a movie about like they were watching like The Blob or something, or like, some other mutant. Like,
if I were to break it down, yeah, I see where you're coming from.
If you try and break it down, it immediately falls apart.
It immediately falls apart because you're trying to break down a cartoon. You're trying to bring out something as trivial as just a nostalgic cartoon. I just like it for nostalgia's sake, and the whole reason that this is bad is because Michael Bay is infringing on something that's nostalgic to me. Same reason that George Lucas did, but he ruined his own creation.
Maybe I'm overthinking this. Let me put this a simpler thing.
Yeah,
I just thought it was stupid.
All right. Well, okay. That's fine.
Like,
I don't care if you have your opinion. I'm just making a shtick.
Well, that's why I wanted to go last.
Check the time.
I'll tell you one thing. One of the coolest memories I have of MAGFest, when we went to MAGFest, and I guess we'll wrap it up after this. One of the coolest memories I have of going to MAGFest was when we were sitting in the hotel room, and somebody, I forget who it was, ordered pizza, and somebody else had put in the first Ninja Turtles movie, and it was like, oh my god, I'm 5 years old.
Now, Biker Mice from Mars, that's a show I can
Now, that's a show I can get behind.
That's
fucking
fun for the whole family.
Nothing logically wrong with that at all.
Absolutely
no.
not. So, until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Brian Massey.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com.